Praise the Lord, good morning. Let's start our worship by reading one of the Psalms, Psalm 75. Psalm 75, and to thee, O God, do we give thanks. And to thee do we give thanks, for that thy name is near, thy wondrous works declare. When I shall receive the congregation, I will judge uprightly. The earth and all the inhabitants thereof are dissolved. I bear up the pillars of it. I said unto the fools, deal not foolishly. And to the wicked, lift not up the horn. Lift not up your horn on high. Speak not with a stiff neck. For promotion cometh neither from the east, nor from the west, nor from the south. But God is the judge, he putteth down and setteth up another. For in the hand of the Lord there is a cup, and the wine is red. It is full of mixture, and he poureth out of the same. But the dregs thereof, all the wicked of the earth, shall wring them out and drink them. But I will declare forever, I will sing praises to the God of Jacob. All the horns of the wicked also will I cut off, but the horns of the righteous shall be exalted. Amen. Let's pray. Thank you, God, being the judge of the whole earth. We thank you, God. We bless you. We come before you in the name of Jesus. We invite the Holy Spirit to be with us this very day in our worship, to walk among us, to touch each and every one of us, to do wonderful things in our midst, oh God, to direct us, to speak to us, to lead us even in this time of prayer. Speak to us and inspire us with the Holy Spirit. Lead us in our prayers as we are praying to you, Lord. Let's come to God and ask Him forgiveness for our sins. As we confess and renounce our sins, He is just. He will forgive us and He will purify us from all unrighteousness. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for your blood that shed on the cross to forgive us our sins, O Lord. We magnify you, Lord. We adore you. We worship you. Cleanse us. Cleanse your church, those who are here and those in other places. O God, I pray that as we confess and renounce our sins, you forgive, you purify. You bring us back from darkness unto life. You bring revival, O God, in the life of your church and your people. Let's give thanks for all that He gives to us, for the small and the big things that we receive from Him, for the eternal life. Let us give thanks for the Word of God that He sent us, for His provision, His protection, His guidance, His answer prayers. We give you thanks, O God, for the good health, for the food, the shelter, the answer prayer, your word that you send on time, the guidance, the deliverance, the protection, the healing. We thank you. We thank and we praise you, Jesus. Let's now ask God our needs. Whatever you need, big or small, is in the hand of God. Hear our prayer, Lord. Guide us, O God. Answer our needs, O God, in the name of Jesus. Heal the sick. Provide for those who are in need. Protect those who are under pressure or under threat or under attack, in the name of Jesus. Hear us as we pray. Hear us, O God. Guide us and lead us. Let's now pray for our families. Pray for your wife, pray for your husband, pray for your children, pray for your parents, pray for your sibling. Hear our prayer, O God. Bless each and every family. Pray for salvation for the family members who are unsaved in the name of Jesus. I pray you reveal your good plan for each and every family. I pray for orders in the families, each husband to be leading the family according to your will. Pray for wives to be submissive and good helpers, for the husbands to do the work of yours. Pray for children to be submissive to their parents and to fear you and to walk in your ways. O God, bestow blessings upon each and every family. Use them to shine before you, so people who are not knowing you, they will see you through their lives. They will come to know you, O God, in the name of Jesus. Pray now for your job. Pray for your boss. Pray for the place that you are working. As you prosper, you too will prosper. Lord, I pray, use our lives in the places that you have placed us. Use, Lord, my brothers and my sister here and other places to shine in the places of work that you place them. I pray, touch their boss, they will give them favor. And also fill them with the Holy Spirit to evangelize, to testify about you. Bless all these places, so our brethren will be also blessed. I pray for faithfulness, that we will bring to you as due for you from tithes and offerings and also first fruit. Guide us and help us, O God, to go on and serve you. In the name of Jesus. Pray now for the places that you came from. Pray for your neighbor, your friend, pray for your relatives, that God's word will reach them, that you will work with God to bring His word to them. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Master. Thank you, Jesus. We magnify you, Lord. We adore you. O God, hear our prayer. I pray for more souls to be harvested in these places. In the name of Jesus. Let's pray now for the church in the place that God had a place here in UAE and in other places that the church had extended. To Oman, to Kuwait, to Iraq, to India, Sri Lanka, Philippines, Australia, America, also Sierra Leone and Malawi, all these outreaches. Lord, we pray, you grant us favor from all the governments here and in all these places, that all our needs of paper documentation and also our logistic needs will be met, O God. In the name of Jesus, we pray for all these places that your church had extended to prosper, so we too will prosper, O God. We pray for the salvation of the souls in all these places. We commit ourselves to pray for those in the governments. Lord, stretch out your hand and do miracles in the name of Jesus. We thank you, God. We bless you. We magnify you. We adore you, Lord. We pray, O God, that you will continue to evangelize, reaching the lost, telling about you. I pray, Lord, for the filling of the Holy Spirit,
refill us once again with the Holy Ghost to go and evangelize. We pray, O God, that whatever gift we need to serve you, will provide gift of healing, gift of faith, message of knowledge, message of wisdom, gift of pastoring, gift of evangelism, gift of teaching, gift of exhorting, gift of counseling. Whatever we need, O God, you will provide. We trust you, O God, to go and save you. In the name of Jesus, we pray, O God, you will help us and you guide us, O Lord. I pray for each and every one of us that we'll do all what we can to possess the fruit of the Holy Spirit, gentleness, kindness, love, peace, joy, self-control, patience, perseverance, long-suffering. O God, humility, we pray that we will show the character of Christ in our lives. We commit ourselves to evangelize, to reach new people in new languages. You will be the one to help us and go before us. Lord, I pray for our protection from this pandemic and from all the vices of the devil. We rebuke it all in the name of Jesus. I pray, Lord, to protect us from the evil one and all the work of Satan against your church and against your people. Oh God, anoint all the members, the families, the elders, the pastors, the teachers, to continue to serve you, oh God, that we'll be doing your work faithfully, and we trust you, God. You will go before us, and you will confirm the word that you say to us, and you will work with us. Even, Lord, we pray today. You anoint our worship. Anoint our prayers. Anoint our songs. The giving, even your word. Anoint your word, O God, and speak to us. We thank you, Lord. We bless you. We magnify you. We adore you. This all we ask and pray in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Let's all stand and let's start our worship.
Hear our prayer. We are your children and we gather here today. We've gathered here to pray. Hear our cry. Lord, we need your mercy and we need your grace. Standing here.
We confess our sins. We believe, Lord, you forgive us and you purify us from all our wickedness. Hallelujah.
Your kingdom, generation, in the name of our majesty, our lives are starting with your praise. Your spirit moving, we burn with holy fire and glory, seen through all the earth. You set eternity in my heart, so I live it for you, for you. Hallelujah.
My Redeemer lives. My Redeemer. So we have the courage to go on and save you and to declare your word. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, being with us, guiding us. We magnify you, we adore you. How could I live without you?
How could I survive without your love? Your touch, you're the one that heals me, that cleanses my heart, and sets me free. How could I live without you? How would I survive without your love? Oh, Lord, my God.
Teach us your ways as we sit in your presence. Cleanse us, your church, your people. Cleanse our minds, our thoughts, our inclinations, our attitudes, and our lives and actions. Thank you, God. We trust you. You teach us. You will guide us. This is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's now give what is belong to God of tithes and offerings, first fruits and vows. Thank you, Lord, for your loving kindness, your goodness, and your faithfulness unto us. Thank you for all that you give and you provide for us, O God. We bring to you, Lord, what belongs to you of tithes and offerings and first fruits and vows. Look from heaven and bless them and multiply them in the name of Jesus. O Lord, open the windows of heaven and bless your church and your people. Who brought to you what belonged to you. O God, reward them and rebuke the devourer in their life. I pray use this money to raise the lost. We trust you, O God, you will provide all the needs. We thank and we praise you. This is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. We continue today to speak about how Jesus taught against divorce and against remarriage, and the battle even to this day continue to combat such kind of sin. It is immorality. Divorce and remarriage is adultery. In Matthew chapter 5, verse 31 and verse 32, it has been said, whosoever shall put away his wife, let him give her a writing of divorcement. But I say unto you that whosoever shall put away his wife, saving for the cause of fornication, causing her to commit adultery, and whosoever shall marry her that is divorced committed adultery. Lord, bless your word to your church. Anoint us and guide us, O Lord. Help us to understand your will and empower us as a church to go on and serve you and do the work of yours. We thank you, God, and we bless you. This is all we ask and pray in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, he was confronting the Pharisees. They came to him in Matthew 19 and they asked him, as we have read, and he told them clearly it was not like that from the beginning. And he told them clearly that divorce and remarriage is considered adultery. After they left him and he was with his disciples came to him, and let's go to Matthew 19 and let's see what the disciple asked the Lord. Matthew chapter 19 verse 10 to 12. His disciples say unto him, if the case of the man be so with his wife, it is not good to marry. But he say unto them, all men cannot receive this saying, save they to whom it is given. For there are some eunuchs which were so born from their mother's womb, and there are some eunuchs which were made eunuchs of men. And there be eunuchs which have made themselves eunuchs for the kingdom of heaven's sake, that he is able to receive it, let him receive it. The disciples, when they hear him speaking with the Pharisees about the issue of divorce, they were aware that Christ is not approving divorce for whatever reason. Actually speaking, Christ never approved divorce. And they came to him. You see the question of the disciples. They understood that there's no divorce. They told him, and if that is the matter, verse 10, if the case of the man be so with his wife, it is not good to marry. They told him it's not good to marry. What the Lord answered them? What he told them? No. It is good. No. You can marry. Did he say that? He not say this. He confirmed that teaching, there is no divorce after marriage. He did not go along what is going on at that time about marriage, divorce when they don't like, and remarry again. Christ taught very clearly. He say, all man cannot receive this saying. This saying will not be changed. Yes, man, not all the people will receive this saying. Cannot all the people cannot receive this. But those whom are willing to go with Christ and willing to follow, they are the one to be saved. In verse 12, when he told them about the eunuchs, he told them some make themselves eunuchs for the kingdom of heaven. That is in verse 12. And there will be eunuchs which have made themselves eunuchs for the kingdom of heaven's sake. Not that they renounce marriage, no. But they renounce divorce and remarriage. That was the issue and that was the discussion. And here very clearly, when Christ linked the teaching against divorce and remarriage with the kingdom of God, He made it very clear that those who divorce and remarry, they will not enter the kingdom of God. Because divorce and remarriage, according to Christ, it is adultery. And adulterer will not enter the kingdom of God. If Adam will refuse Eve to be his wife, God will not make to him another option. God not will create another woman for him. And that is the teaching that Christ suffered, and we as a church also, we stand for it and suffer. Christ not only in Matthew 19 spoke about the same issue. That issue is addressed in other gospel. In Mark chapter 10, churches of Christ now, churches of God, are full of divorce and remarriage. The same Pharisees who argue with Jesus about it, they are still there. But the word of Christ is the same, will not change. Mark chapter 10, and you read verse 2 to 12. And the Pharisees came to him and asked him, is it lawful for a man to put away his wife, tempting him? And he answered and said unto them, what did Moses command you? And they said, Moses suffered to write a bill of divorcement and to put her away. And Jesus answered and said unto them, for the hardness of your heart, he wrote you this precept. But from the beginning of the creation, God made them male and female. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and cleave to his wife, and they twain shall be one flesh. So then they are no more twain, but one flesh. What therefore God had joined together, let no man put asunder. And in the house his disciple asked him again of the same matter, and he said unto them, whosoever shall put away his wife and marry another committeth adultery against her. And if a woman shall put away her husband and be married to another, she committeth adultery. Now here they came to Christ to tempt him, but he gives them the sound teaching. Here Christ noticed he did not put any reason about divorce. He said, whoever divorced, he did not say for fornication. No, whatever the reason, it is not acceptable. Divorce and remarriage, the process of divorce, it will go to the remarriage, and that is where adultery will take place. And that is what the devil like, and we rebuke it in the name of Jesus. In Luke chapter 16, and verse 18, Jesus say, whosoever putteth away his wife and marrieth another committeth adultery, and whosoever marrieth her that is put away from her husband committeth adultery. Again here Christ mentioned that divorce and remarriage is adultery, whatever the reason. But that is very clear to us that Christ is against divorce and remarriage because it is adultery. In the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 7, Paul also wrote about this. Now, this writing of Paul is important because Paul, as we know, he is a Pharisee. The Pharisee who came to Jesus to tempt him about this teaching, Paul was one of them. but he repented. Let us read what he wrote about divorce and remarriage. And link to this with this issue. 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 10 and 11. He says, "And unto the married I command, yet not I, but the Lord, let not the wife depart from her husband. But and if she depart, let her remain unmarried or be reconciled to her husband, and let not the husband put away his wife." Now that's very clear, that the wife should not depart from her husband, and the man should not put away his wife. Now when he say, "But and if she departs," in case she depart, you know what that means? He means that when there's a real reason that she will depart, and that can only be justifiable if the man has another woman, or her physical life is threatened, like she may die at any time. But even with this, she is not allowed to marry. Now, what we understand here, when we do counseling, we cannot approve people they want to separate for no real biblical reason. Because marriage is responsibility and accountability. And people want to escape these responsibilities and this accountability. And we need to be careful not to approve separation or divorce. Because many, they will come with stories. But we need to discern what is the real situation. If there's no other partner in the middle, we don't advise a woman to separate from her husband. Let us also read verse 12 and 13. "But to the rest speak I, not the Lord. If any brother have a wife that believeth not, and she pleased to dwell with him, let him not put her away. And the woman which hath an husband that believeth not, and if he be pleased to dwell with her, let her not leave him." Now here Apostle Paul confirming that he is against separation for whatever reason. If a believer has married, his wife is non-believer and she wants to stay, he should not put her away. And even the wife in the same way. Now when we go to verse 15, "But if the unbeliever depart, let him depart. A brother or sister is not under bondage in such cases, but God hath called us to peace." Some churches, they explain this. They say that if they will leave the partner, the unbelieving partner, if he will leave, the brother or sister has the right to marry. Paul never intend to say this in his writing. Why? If he intended this to say this, in verse 10 and 11, he would not advise the wife to come back. He never give the wife approval to marry another man. And also, when we go down to verse 39, 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 39, he says, "The wife is bound by the law as long as her husband liveth. But if her husband be dead, she is at liberty to be married to whom she will, only in the Lord." Now here, he gives permission for the wife to marry after the death of the husband. So in verse 15, if the partner leave and gone away, the unbelieving partner, the believing wife or husband has no right to marry. That is very clear here in the scripture.
Paul also confirmed that
in other places. In Hebrew chapter 13, Hebrews chapter 13, divorce is a way for adultery. Once divorce takes place, separation takes place, adultery is there. And that's where the devil play, and we rebuke it in the name of Jesus. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 4, marriage is honorable in all, and the bed undefiled, but warmongers and adulterers God will judge. Romans chapter 7. Romans chapter 7 and verse 1 to 3. Know ye not, brethren, for I speak to them that know the Lord, how that the law hath dominion over a man as long as he liveth. For the woman which hath an husband is bound by the law to her husband so long as he liveth. But if the husband be dead, she is loosed from the law of her husband. So then, if while her husband liveth, she be married to another man, she shall be called an adulteress. But if her husband be dead, she is free from that law, so that she is no adulteress, though she is married to another man. That's very clear. Paul allowed second marriage after the death of the partner. Partner alive, no marriage. Now how about those who are, as a church of God, how we counsel the people, how about those who are separated and they come for second marriage? What we advise them? Tell them very clearly it is adultery. Go back and reconcile. And we counsel and advise to rectify things and go to your previous partner. How about if they come to the church and they already separated and remarried again? What we will do? If they are believers, we speak to them clearly the scriptures. And we tell them, we advise them to separate because second marriage is adultery. That's what Jesus said. How about if they are non-believers? If they are non-believers, we may invite them to accept Christ. But sooner or later, we need to explain to them that their situation is adultery and they need to separate. Sometimes, we meet people who had already had second marriage, and they have separated from their partner. And they are going in life. What we need to do? We just confirm to them that their separation from the second partner is the will of God. And we ask them to continue to live for God, to care for our children and serve the Lord. I have seen a good number of people, they are separated from their second marriage, and they are doing well. I just comfort them and I just confirm to them that that is the will of God in their life, and they don't need to go back to their second partners or think to marry again because their first partner is still alive. Now, the other issue here that we as a Church of God facing is, how about the issue of single father or single mother? How we deal with it? A man have a child without marriage, and a woman has a child without marriage. Listen here, if there is a child already, whether there is a marriage, there is paper, the marriage is legal, whether there is no paper, whether it is adultery, whether it is rape, whether if the father even unknown wants their child, it is already considered marriage. Why? Because the child will not be born unless man and woman get united and become one, and the child is from God. How we know that to become one? In 1 Corinthians chapter, even if that is was a prostitution, even rape, still it is marriage. And 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 16. He say, what know ye not that he which is joined to an harlot is one body? For two saith he shall be one flesh. Even harlot, when she unites and there's a child, the child is sign that the two become one, and that is marriage according to the scriptures. Now, that's what Jesus say for the sake of the kingdom of God in Matthew 19 and verse 12. Single father or single mother, if the partner is available, we advise them to marry and complete the family. If not available or with other, then there is no marriage. You cannot go and marry another partner if the father or the mother of the child of your child is still alive. You cannot go and marry another person. That's what Jesus say in Matthew chapter 19, verse 12. He spoke about those for the sake of the kingdom of God that make themselves eunuchs. He say, and there be eunuchs which have made themselves eunuchs for the kingdom of God, for the kingdom of heaven's sake. He that is able to receive it, let him receive it. We tell them clearly, if you go attempt marriage, is adultery, and you will not enter the kingdom of heaven. Those who receive it, we advise them to concentrate, to care for their children, and live for Christ. Why? We don't approve their marriage because it is adultery. Second, if they will remarry their children, they will do the same in the future, and that is adultery. What is the purpose of marriage? According to Malachi chapter 2, verse 13 to 15, the purpose of marriage is to raise up godly children. When divorce or separation happen, it is a betrayal. Betrayal to your partner, and betrayal also to God, and betrayal to the covenant that you have with God. When in the day of wedding, the covenant that you make, you don't make it with your partner. The covenant of marriage is your covenant with God. And when divorce and separation happen, you are breaking your covenant with God. In Malachi chapter 2, verse 13 to 15, and this have ye done again, covering the altar of the Lord with tears, with weeping and with crying out. And someone that he regardeth not the offering anymore, or receive it with goodwill at your hand. Yet you say, wherefore? Because the Lord has been witness between thee and the wife of thy youth, against whom thou hast dealt treacherously. Yet is she thy companion, and the wife of your covenant. And did not he make them one? Yet had he the residue of the spirit, and wherefore one? That he might seek a godly seed. Therefore take heed of your spirit, and let none deal treacherously against the wife of his youth. And that's where here the Lord. The purpose of marriage is to raise up godly children. When divorce and remarriage happen, the children will do the same, and that is betrayal to the covenant that we have in the day of wedding with God. Let's stand in God's presence and let us commit ourselves to stand for this teaching against such kind of adultery and immoralities, and live a holy life unto the Lord, obeying Him and walking in His way. Let's all stand. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Let us repent of our sin that we have done wrong. Let us surrender our lives and will to Him. Let us renew our covenant with Him to save Him and to do His work and His will. Thank you for your word to us. I pray, Lord, for the conviction of the Holy Spirit upon your church and your people, all the congregation of the church and the families. And I pray you take this teaching, O God, and make it reach to places to convict them to repent of such kind of sin. O Lord, we commit ourselves as a church to continue to save you, to spread your word, to speak the truth, O God. I pray, Lord, empower us with the Holy Ghost. Fill us to go on and save you and evangelize. Spread your word, O God. We thank you, Lord. We bless you.
How could I live without you? How would I survive without your love, without your touch? You're the one that heals me, cleanses my heart, and sets me before you, with my hands lifted up, and my heart humbly bowed at your work on the cross. As you hung there and died, you were paying the price for my life, for my life, for your love. Your love. You're the one that heals me, that cleanses my heart, and sets me free. Now I come right before you, with my hands lifted up, and my heart humbly bowed at your word.
God, take your word and spread it. Oh God, bless us. Enlarge our territory, Lord. Oh God, let your hand be with us and free us from harm so that we'll not feel pain. May the grace of the Lord Jesus and love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Ghost be with us all in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.
I know you rescued my soul. Redeemer lives, my Redeemer lives, my Redeemer lives.